Everybody, welcome back to Afros and Convos.
Hey, y'all.
Hello, hello.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Convos on IG. Email us at afrosandconvos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandconvos.com. How is everybody doing?
Great. Doing fine.
I'm doing good.
That's great. Because it is time for Trending Combos.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. All right. Who wants to kick it off?
I will go. So a lot has happened in the last week or so. A lot of good and some bad as well. First, I want to start off with, have you guys heard about the hashtag Free Haiti? What would you say? That's tagline that's gone viral within the last couple weeks, if not, I think maybe in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-mm. No, I have not.
No? So Haiti, much like a lot of countries, predominantly the African countries or the islander countries that are predominantly Black, have been experiencing unrest. Currently in Haiti, there are groups of gangs that are taking over the country and killing people, specifically cops. So it originally started with a case of cops that went to raid a gang, and it went wrong, and the gang ended up killing cops, taking their weapons, selling their cars, and like parading the dead bodies of the cops through the streets. One of the moms of the cops was like on the radio pleading for them to return her son's corpse back. Since then, it's really just kind of escalated to, you know, this one young man was just talking about just how tough it is living in Haiti with, you know, the issues that are rising. He tagged it Free Haiti and it kind of went viral. So the whole thing is kind of, reading up on it, is a bit similar to NSARS that happened in Nigeria that I spoke about, a couple months ago. But in this case, it's more so a call for their president. They are asking that he pretty much stepped down because he came in saying that he was going to bring about change and he hasn't. And they're seeing a lot of gang-related activities escalate, as well as a lot of for-ransom kidnappings, which has been escalating in Nigeria as well, where they'll kidnap groups of people for ransom and it's just out of hand. So Free Haiti has been hashtagging. I've seen a lot of my Haitian friends and folks that I follow on social media that happen to be Haitians, and some celebrities that have been speaking out about it, because it's just, we're seeing an increase in just violence and lack of government ability to handle the violence, whether it's cops that are killing its citizens or it's citizens that are in gangs that are causing that are killing cops or killing its citizens, and the citizens feel like they are unsafe in their respective homes.
So like, what's the, it's a gang. It's not like a militia trying to take over the government. It's like they're gangs.
Yeah. It seems like it's multiple gangs that there probably are. I guess you could equate it to militia, but it's like smaller militias as opposed to one unified group. Like, it's not like Boko Haram, it's just gangs that are inciting violence throughout Haiti. The first incident was in Port-au-Prince, but apparently there have been reported of other gang-related situations that have been coming up.
But, so what is their what is their goal? I don't understand.
From what I see, the biggest push right now, the biggest cry by activists, is just to get their president to step down, because apparently he's still trying to run an election cycle or campaign for re-election right now, and the people are just kind of like, nah. So that, to me, has been what seems to be the most prominent request, because
That's the gang's goal or the people's goal?
The people's goal.
What is the gang's goal? I'm saying, like, why are they killing police officers? Like, what is the purpose behind it?
I would think that it's money related, like, because they're also kidnapping for ransom, so they're wanting money. So Yeah, I would think it's just, and I'm sure there's definitely like a means of wanting some level of power, but I haven't seen it be like coup level as it is just terrorizing, you know, the cops that are trying to come to catch them and arrest them or whatever like that. But just wanted to tell those, we have some listeners that are Haitian, that we stand with you all. And if we're able to find, I haven't seen any, I'm sure they're on the ground activist ability, like efforts that we could, you know, promote to get funding and all that stuff. But for right now, it just seems like speaking about it, definitely praying and standing with our Haitian brothers and sisters is the best that can be done. And hopefully we can see new leadership step in to help govern the people of Haiti. My next bit of news, you guys hear about what happened in Atlanta? Mm-hmm. What was it, yesterday? Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on that? And just what's going on with the, you know, Asian American and Pacific Islander community?
Oh, it's terrible. And it's just, I guess I try to make sense of stuff, but then it's like it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't understand what people hope to gain by targeting Asian Americans, or like what message they're trying to get across. Like, I don't really understand the point of it. Yeah. But yeah, it's terrible. And so it was like the same guy that went to multiple locations just like shooting people. Like,
yeah. And they're saying now that his motivation is a sex addiction. Apparently he had a sex addiction, and in order to rid himself of the temptation, he felt like he needed to kill these Asian people. Yeah. I mean, obviously there have been conversations even prior to this situation of the rise, increasing at an alarming rate of attacks on the AAPI community, from New York to California to Florida and now in Georgia. And so I think this was just kind of a, you know, icing on a really terrible cake, if you will, of violence targeting this community, and even more so the conversation of violence towards women. I've seen the conversation of, is it racism? Is it not racism? And people want to argue. There's a lot of talks right now because I think the police chief just gave a press conference where he basically was just like, the guy had a really bad day and this was the result of it. This is what he resorted to after having a bad day. And it's like, most people, when they have a bad day, don't go killing 8 people. Like, I don't understand how, what, I mean, it's just the same narrative. A white man kills and the immediate response is, let us paint him in the most humanistic and let us not make this what it actually is, which is very much so racially motivated, even if it was motivated by sex addiction. The fetishizing of Asian women is still based on a race issue, and it's a hate crime. But I've gotten to have conversations with a lot of my friends that are in this community, and just like our Haitian brothers and sisters, we also stand with the AAPI community, and I'm excited in the sense of we're seeing a people rise up to stand for justice in their community, because I think the issue of injustice in Asian community has always been prevalent, but it just hasn't been spoken about in a public setting or had this level of exposure. So make the conversation go on, and may, you know, that young man, that justice be served in the situation. On to more lighter things. Shout out to Marseille Martin. Yeah, sis became the youngest producer of a Disney show with her new comedy series called Saturdays. Shout out to her. Last but not least, shout out to Beyonce and Blue Ivy. Beyonce is officially now the most decorated female artist when it comes to Grammys with 28. And her daughter, Blue Ivy, is now the second youngest to ever receive a Grammy for Best Video for Brown Skin Girl, which I actually watched the Grammys this year, and it was actually very much so entertaining. And when she and Jay-Z came on the screen, I literally like yelled, like, what? They're there? And when she won, I was actually like, yo, this is crazy. I think this is probably the most I've been hyped about the Grammys in years. And I was one of the 10 people that watched it, because apparently their ratings are trash this year.
What did it even air on? I mean, was it on
CBS? On CBS, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like streaming online somewhere.
No, it was on TV. It streamed. They did the pre-show stuff on YouTube, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was. I enjoyed it, anyways.
Yeah, which you know, I'm gonna go ahead and slide on in, because I too watched the Grammys, and it was one of those things where of the shows that have been put on in the midst of quarantine, and you know. Trying to do the virtual thing and all that other stuff. It was one of the better produced shows, just because one, they had the in-person element. It was still pretty obvious that Corona is going on. It was a limited number of people. They were all spaced apart at these individual tables and all those things. I was shocked that Jay and Beyonce were there as well. And I was like, oh, somebody must get them a call. I was like, okay, you won something. Like, I'm going to need you to show up a little so. You can't be embarrassed at the Grammys, but that's giving you an award and you ain't there. We're going to accept this award on Beyonce's behalf. So I feel like they got a little call.
They vaccinated, though.
That too. So yeah, that was really cool. Beyonce is actually the most decorated singer, period, male or female. Mm-hmm. So with 28 Grammys, as we just mentioned. I also wanted to mention a few people. Her also won Best Song for I Can't Breathe. Mm-hmm. She got Best R&B Song for Better Than I Imagined. So she snuck away with two.
Snuck away.
You know, she got two. Beyonce won four that night. So she won for Best Rap Song, Best Rap Performance for both her Savage Remix. She won for Best Music Video, Brown Skin Girl, which Kika mentioned. And she won Best R&B Performance for Black Parade. So, yeah. Sis cleaned up a little bit too, you know. And, you know, I want to get into, you know, okay. So, Megan Thee Stallion, she had an amazing night. Let's start there, right? She was nominated for four, I think, and she took away three. She won Best New Artist, which apparently she's the first female rap artist to win Best New Artist since Lauryn Hill back in 99. So, she cleaned up there too. She got Best Rap Performance along with Beyonce for Savage Remix, and then she won Best Rap Song for Savage Remix. She was nominated for was it Song of the Year or Record of the I don't know, I can't remember the difference. She was nominated for one of them, either Song of the Year or Record of the Year, but Billie Eilish won that one. And Billie Eilish basically dedicated her acceptance speech. She pulled the Adele and basically was like, Megan, this was for you. That you had the year, you had the best year, the untoppable year, something she said. And I just want to dedicate this to you. But I want to thank you to the Academy for giving me this award. Like, it was funny. It was funny. And then, you know, the thing that everybody's talking about from the Grammys is you know, Megan and Cardi got up there and they did their thing. You know, they did a thing. They did a thing. Listen, now I'm normally one, because even when we talked about the song coming out, I was very much like, listen, they grown, like, you know what I'm saying? The song went for kids, you know, get your kids a little, I don't know, what the cocoa melon or something. That's what your kids need to listen to. You know what I'm saying? The WAP ain't for the cheering, you know?
The kids box.
Listen, this was a lot. This was a lot even for grown people. Like, how Drea, I don't know if you've ever said it on a podcast before, but we was talking about something. You was like, I'm not even grown enough to... I was not grown enough to watch that. Listen. Ooh, child. Did y'all see it?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch the entire performance, but I saw enough of it. Mm-hmm.
What's crazy is I was watching it live, but I think I got up at some point because when I saw the reaction online, I'm like, what did they do? So I think I missed like the risque part of it.
Oh, you missed the bed? The bed was where, the bed is where it went down.
I saw the bed, but by the time I came back, it was Trevor Noah grinding in the air joking. So I missed what happened on the bed.
Child. Ooh, child.
Oh Lord!
Yeah,
I mean, it,
not suitable for work.
Nah, not suitable for at home, not at all. Sitting on the couch. Listen, it was. I mean, again, you know, shout out to them for having the courage to do it in front of all the people and listen, different strokes.
What did they do?
Sis, you just got to watch it.
Okay. Wow, is that risque? Wow.
No, yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable. More than just some twerking, because twerking is like, I mean, that's like in the common vernacular now. Like, that's, yeah. No, it was more than that. But yeah, I appreciate the confidence. I just feel like, one, CBS, like, what are y'all doing?
I know, right? Y'all didn't censor the thing. They didn't censor, you know, you back in the day, cut the camera,
So I just shout out to them though. Wanted to move on to the Bachelor. We've mentioned the Bachelor, we talked about the Bachelor. We all said that, you know, most of us was watching it. Some of us couldn't make it through, and I understand because Matt James was boring. But the finale happened. He picked
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He picked Rachel, didn't he?
Shocking no one, he picked Rachel. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not shocked. But I thought she was going to be gone. I didn't think she was going to make it past the final four. But
yeah,
she did. She made it to the last. He didn't propose to her, though. He only said, you know, I want to go on this journey.
He
did not propose to her.
He did not propose to her.
But girl, you had to have seen it. Because yeah, it was the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, you know, Matt and his family need counseling. All of them. Brother, mother, father.
What the brother need counseling?
The brother, he need, because he was raised by the same people that Matt was raised by. That's why he need counseling. I'm sure if Matt need counseling, I'm sure that nigga need counseling too. They all need counseling.
I miss something.
But yeah, they just need some healing. Matt's mom is clearly not healed from what happened with Matt's dad, and she was laying trauma on Matt, and Matt got confused, and he, you know, at one point was certain until he talked to his mom, and then all of a sudden he like, he don't want to propose. So he ended up picking Rachel, but did not propose to her. This is not the first time that's happened either. That has happened before, where a contestant or the lead picks somebody but doesn't get engaged. That's happened before. But so, you know, then they go on the after the final rose, and we talked about how Emmanuel Acho, he was hosting it. He from the Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, and he was making it known that he does uncomfortable conversations, because he said that no fewer than five times.
Come on, shameless plug.
Shameless. No? Hello, shameless. No. So there was conversations between him and Emmanuel, the host, and Matt's second best, the runner up. And you know,
Michelle,
she was a little bitter. And then conversations between Michelle and Matt, and honestly, the chemistry was just still there. They seemed like they would have, you know, it could have.
He should have picked
100%. He should have picked. So anyway, so then they come out. Rachel comes out and has a conversation individually with Emmanuel. She has been talking to people or reading something, because the first thing she said, because I think Emmanuel asked her how she'd been doing, you know, in the midst of all this controversy and attacks and stuff like that. And she was like, you know, it's been hard, but I don't want to victimize myself. I said, she's been reading.
Come on, Rachel.
She's been reading.
Wow.
So that that happens. They have a, you know, general conversation, and she, you know, he asks her, you know, did you think that the photo was going to come out? And she said, honestly speaking, no, she did not. She didn't see anything wrong with the photo. Of course she didn't, because of course, why would she? So they have this whole conversation. She admits that she was ignorant and all this stuff. Then they bring out Matt, and Matt and Rachel are sitting there having a conversation. And, oh, well, he talked to Matt first. I forgot. He talked to Matt, then talked to Rachel, then both of them together. And basically Matt reveals that they are no longer together. They broke up over this. And you know,
specifically, he broke up with her.
Yeah, he
Why did he break up with her?
Matt basically says that, you know, that it was disappointing in having to have a conversation. At first, he said when the news first broke, he was trying to hold on to hope that it wasn't true. Drea was like, I don't know how he holding on to it ain't true, because she in the picture. Either she ain't in the picture, she is. It can't be not true if she in the picture. But yeah, so he was saying that. Then he was like, he came to terms with how he felt after Rachel released her statement saying that she was sorry. And he was like, after that happened, I just wasn't okay. And then they had a conversation. Rachel and Matt had a conversation. And I guess he was disappointed in how Rachel handled the conversation. And who knows what was said? Who knows what she said? Whether or not she fought back of, like, there's nothing wrong with the photo, blah, 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 all of this stuff. Who knows what was actually said between them two? But basically, he said that he felt that Rachel needed to do work, and he could not be with her while she's doing that work. It also kind of seems like Matt is struggling too, and doing some work that he probably hasn't done with being Black in America as well. Because just the conversation and even listening to him process through things, it seems very much like he was slapped in the face with a lot of stuff that he did not realize he was dealing with. So that, I think, mostly had what led to the demise. So yeah, they're not together. And then, you know, they come out and they announce The Bachelorette. And The Bachelorette is going to be two people. They're going to do back-to-back Bachelorettes. The first one is going to be Katie, who was on Matt's season as well. She, if you've been watching, or if you ain't been watching, I'm sure you heard about the dildo girl. That's her. And then second is going to be Michelle, which is the Black girl who came second to Rachel. So she is getting her own little opportunity, her own little chance at love. And also,
Matt gonna show up on the season like that white girl in the minivan. He gonna be like, I messed up. I want you back.
I really don't think, because he was a lead. That's a I don't know. He can't go from lead to being a contestant. I don't know about that.
Girl, he shouldn't have been a lead. He should have been a regular guy that was leaving his life.
I agree, but I don't think count for real. He's going to show up. But we'll see. And then it's also been announced that Chris Harrison is not going to return on this season. So we'll see. The next season is going to be hosted by Tayshia Adams and Caitlin Bristow.
No idea who that is.
Both of them are very popular in the Bachelor Nation. Caitlin was also a lead before as well, so they were both very beloved by the Bachelor Nation. Caitlin is a very I don't know how to describe her. She was very different, I'll just say. She has raunchy humor, and she's very different, and I think people were able to relate to her on that level. Next, I wanted to talk about, have y'all heard what's going on with The Talk? Have y'all seen what's going on with The Talk?
Yes, with Osborne and
so. Basically, the fallout continues from Harry and Meghan's interview with Oprah. So Sharon Osborne is on The Talk, and she basically defended Pierce and said Pierce Morgan, who stormed off in Britain and whatever, he was angry because he didn't believe Meghan. And essentially, Sharon said was that, you know, she believes in his right to say whatever he wants, and he's a controversial character and blah, 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 blah. Cheryl Underwood?
Well, originally what Sharon said was, Pierce, I stand with you.
Oh, yes. That was on Twitter.
meant exactly. Yes. Then later she came back and said she meant yes. his freedom to be able to say whatever mm-hmm. he wants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so what Dre is talking about, that was on Twitter. So on Twitter she says she stands with Pierce, yes. And that was a very general statement. And then on the show, she indicated that what she meant was that he has the right to say what he wants, that she didn't agree with what he said, but he has the right to say what he wants. So Cheryl Underwood basically challenged mm-hmm. her and asked her a question about, like, what do you say to the public who would say that you defending him is you defending a man who holds racist beliefs or whatever, whatever. So they go back and forth and they are on air and just like basically like lashing into each other over this, like, it was a lot of tension and just over the definition of racism, basically, and not being able to understand that from Cheryl's perspective and some of the other cast, I mean, co-host perspective, what Pierce said was racist, and Sharon was defending him because she hadn't heard anything that was blatantly racist. And mm-hmm. yeah, so that's the whole controversy surrounding that. So now Sharon basically said, I don't know if she actually is just jumping on what CBS is already doing, but CBS has launched an investigation into what's going on, who did the producers have anything to do with Cheryl Underwood's questioning, all of this stuff to pressure and cause controversy on the air. So all of this stuff is happening behind the scenes to figure out what actually happened. And as of right now, the talk is on hiatus until they figure out what's going on with this investigation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Folks, jobs.
They're on hiatus until, so today is Wednesday. We're recording on Wednesday. They're on hiatus until next Tuesday. So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What is their viewership like? People actually watch their show?
I think people do watch. Yeah.
How many seasons have they had?
It's been on for a minute.
Yeah, it has.
It's been on for a minute.
Wow. Because even Holly Robinson Peake came out with a statement. I forgot she was on there. She
I forgot
said
she was on there too.
Sharon, yeah, she said Sharon had called her ghetto. And then Elaine Welterot, is that her name? Elaine Welterot? She just newly got on there. She was talking about how the environment is not very conducive to, you know, diversity, basically.
Yeah, they were saying, like, that Sharon also called Julie Chen before Julie Chen left. She was calling her a wonton and saying that
what?
She had,
no,
or
she
calling
didn't.
Her, like, slant eyes and all this other stuff. Like, people are saying that this is what Sharon said.
She said this, like, on set, or they know that she said these things at one point in time.
I believe that they were saying that she said it on set, but
wow,
not 100% sure if it was on set or behind the scenes. She was talking about her co-host. I don't know, but the way that the statement came out about what Sharon does and how she causes, you know, unrest and whatever on set, it sounded like she had said it on set. So
wow, that's next level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, stay tuned. You know, the talk might be gone. Who knows? Because I mean, it's one of them, that's one of them shows that they keep rotating all these co-hosts too, that don't nobody even know who's on. Like, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever watched one episode of that before.
Yeah,
I don't even know what channel that comes on.
It comes on CBS.
It would age me 20 years to watch an episode of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing and briefly I wanted to talk about was this revelation.
Do you want a revolution?
That Kirk Franklin and his son, listen now, did y'all hear the recording?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched listen to part of it and I was like, man, Kirk is, he's well versed in cussing.
Well, I heard the clip that was put out. Now that wasn't the whole video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what y'all thoughts was?
That it shouldn't have been out there? That ain't none of our business. Like, I don't understand why we got to hear that. But in terms of just addressing what I heard, Kirk be cussing. I mean, he real good at it, too. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, folks cuss.
If your son gonna put out hit on Kirk's part, what he say before Kirk cussed him out? I want to know what the son said to get Kirk to that point. Now, am I shocked at Kirk Gus? No. Yeah, me either. But am I appalled, like the a majority of the Christian community? No, I'm not appalled, mainly because I don't know what was on the other end of that and what elicited that response. Now, do I think Kirk out here like going out there bloop, bloop, like every day? No, I don't think he just cussing everybody out, but I think that was a situation that his son used to get back at him and to expose him because he didn't get what he wanted in that conversation. My opinion.
Now, I don't think Kirk out here maybe cussing people out every day, but I think he out here dropping expletives on the regular.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. But tearing people up like he was tearing his son up. But
because he kind of went far. Like, didn't he like threaten him? Like, hurt him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand anger to get to the point that you snap and you cuss and stuff, but there still should be some level of control to not speak in a manner that's just degrading, because, you know, you threaten bodily harm, you calling your kid like derogative, like negative names, like stuff like that. It's like, that's a bit much. But I agree with Camille. We don't know what the history of. We don't know what his son. I honestly was shocked. I found out about it when Drea, Camille, and I actually were together at Drea's house. And I was like, Kirk got another son? Like, I didn't know nothing about this kid. I was like, wait, what? So I was already surprised by that. And then from that, it's like, okay, he's 33. So there has to have been something that he ain't even in nobody's family pictures. It's a shock that he even exists. So, and I saw Kirk's daughter came out basically going in on him as well. So I'm sure there's definitely something he did that triggered Kirk to respond like that. But I'm not on the bandwagon like the Saints that's over here questioning Kirk's faith and all that stuff. I ain't going that far. Like,
I want to say that, I agree. I think that the standard should be for healthy communication, and that no, he should not have spoken to his son in that manner for any reason. But I would also like to say that that is a normal means of communication for a great number of people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it is not fair to take him just because he has a public image and hold him to a standard that you aren't willing to hold yourself to or the next person. Because at the same time, he does have a public image, but he is a human being. And so like, he has an entire life. And so with that are things, he's not every moment isn't his best moment. That's just part of being human. And so I just think people are just so quick to point the finger at other people and not look at themselves. Like, if you see that and you're concerned about him, your response should be to pray for him and not whatever else it is that you have to say on the internet.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it could be either. We have such a small amount of the story that there's no way to know what happened. There's no way to know how involved Kirk was in his son's life. There's no way to know what his son was asking Kirk. There's no way to know how often they communicate. There's no way to know what their communication actually is like when they do communicate. This could have been just a moment. Nobody knows. And to call out or question faith or whatever the case may be off of a fleeting moment that is a lot. And I, you know, on both ends, and including why he chose to release it. Should we have been privy to it? No. But the same way that Kirk was going off, that could have been a moment of seeking an outlet to his father's going off of him like this. And he's like, man, let me damage him like he's damaging me. Like, we don't know why he chose to release all of these things. So it's the judgment going on both sides is just a lot. Like, none of us have been put in that position in that moment to be able to determine what we would have done. Like, you don't know what you would have done. But that's all I got.
Well, I'll go next, because, you know, I got a couple news, because, you know, just wanted to make sure we end on an interesting note. So, I don't know if you guys have heard, but Europe is facing their third wave of coronavirus.
Dear Lord.
So Italy, it's crazy because exactly 1 year, well, a few days off, but about a year ago, they went into lockdown. They're going into another lockdown.
Like complete?
Mm-hmm. Because the cases have increased to 22,000 a day, 360 deaths within 7 days, and they halted their vaccinations. So I don't know if you guys know, but Europe was behind. The UK. You know, UK ain't playing. UK and US, we vaccinate. But Europe was behind in vaccinating. They originally were trying to do 1,800 a day, trying to catch up with the US, but they fell behind, and now they have stopped vaccination totally because they're using the AstraZeneca drug, and there are some concerns about it being causing deaths and blood clots.
Oh, goodness.
So they're like, do we keep going to try to combat this third wave? So, but people are saying that was a bad choice. So it looks like Italy is about to go into full lockdown again, as well as Germany. Those are the two big ones that I saw.
Wow.
So the Rona's still out here. Different variants. Another variant found in Canada. So you guys just saying all that to be safe, especially those on spring break. Be safe. Social distance. Follow those guidelines that are in place. I got one more for y'all. Did y'all hear about what happened in Indianapolis?
Oh, yeah. No. You talking about that family?
Girl, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was insane. Yeah.
So if y'all have not heard, people getting shot over stimmies, y'all. Shot over the stimmies. Not even a full stimmy. So
not even a full, was this?
Just wanted half of the stimmy, and you went in there and shot up everybody. And the person that you wanted to shoot got out and made it. But four people were killed because this man was seeking out stimulus money because the partner, the mother of his children, got a significant amount because of the children. And he felt that he was owed that. And she was like, I'll give you a little bit, but I'll give you half, but you ain't getting all this. And he didn't like that. So he came back with a vengeance. And shot up everybody in the house because he wanted that stimulus money.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lord. I don't know the story behind it. I don't know if he was addicted to any type of drugs or. But I'm like, was it $700 that you was gonna? We can keep the $700, bro. Like, you gonna shoot up somebody?
Yeah, cause now you got about four life sentences probably coming.
Yep. Wow, that's. All bad.
That actually segues very well into one of my stories. So I don't think that people would be out here shooting and killing whole families over $700 if there wasn't such a wealth disparity in America. So Goldman Sachs released a report last week that said that it said that Black women in America hold more than 90% less wealth than white men. And so they want to help fix that problem. And so they have committed to investing $10 billion into areas that will impact the lives of 1 million Black women by 2030. And so they were saying that by closing that 90% wealth gap, it would benefit everyone, Black men and Black women, and it could add up to 1.7 million jobs to the and a GDP growth of 2.1%. So, I mean, I think that that's good. That's great. I'm very interested to see, like, the detailed plan of how exactly they choose to implement that, if it'll be, like, entrepreneurs, small businesses, or like students, or I don't know. Like I'm very interested to see exactly what avenues they're going to take with that. And I just genuinely hope that it actually makes a significant impact over time, because just like in Camille, in your last story, like $700 was worth killing over for that man. And that, I mean, that just speaks to the entirety of your life and your situation and your standing and your hope or lack thereof, that the potential of spending the rest of your life in jail is worth risking for $700.
Yeah.
So another story that I had that I want to talk about is related to Deion Sanders. Went to Jackson State. But so Jackson State, they had a game this past week against Mississippi Valley. They won 43-7. Like, they are doing extremely well. They're number one in the SWAC East right now. I'm just very interested to see how far they're going to go for the entire season, because I know when we first talked about him taking the job, I was like, well, I just hope it actually something becomes of it, and very quickly. And that is exactly what has happened. On top of that, I saw on his page that they do media training with the boys. Like,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
So they, like, sit down, do mock interviews. Like,
wow.
This is what this is like. And he actually posted a clip where he had two of the football boys interview him. They're mass comm majors. So they interviewed him, and he was pretending to respond in the way that they usually respond. Like, I don't know. Or, like, you know, just, like, acting like a kid. And, they were the guys were actually pretty articulate, and they actually kind of navigated what he was throwing at them fairly well. And there were professionals there that were like, oh, okay, this is a great opportunity for you to segue to this type of question, or for you to do this. This is great. Like, people need someone who cares about them in their totality. The wholeness of them as a person. Not, you are not just a point of revenue for me on a field. I care about how far you actually make it in life and how well you succeed. That is what really makes a difference in people's lives, because to be honest, like, it is a microscopic fraction of the number of students that come, football players that come through that school, that are actually going to, like, make it to the NFL. And the ones that make it, that will actually have a career of longevity, that will actually for them. So it's just great to see someone actually investing in them, in the wholeness of who they are.
That's awesome. Wow.
So, that's all I got.
All right. Nice. Well, that is going to wrap up this week's Trending Combos. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.